Open my mouth, and my mouth will declare your praise. It's one of the things we're called to do as followers of the Lord, as followers of Yeshua, to declare what he has done in our lives, to declare his praises. And so we think it's appropriate as well. I asked if, Mike asked Scott Miller if he might come up there and share about how a nice Jewish boy like yourself became a believer in Yeshua.
Hi, everyone. It's a real privilege to be able to come up here and give my testimony. Is that better? I can say it's nothing short of a miracle that I can be up here in front of you today and say without hesitation that Jesus is the center of my life. God first revealed himself to me about 15 years ago when I was in college. And that time I really first read the Gospels for the first time and accepted Christ for the first time. But despite that initial flurry of growth and that conversion, for so many years, I really walked as a defeated Christian and didn't experience the joy and freedom that really comes through knowing God in Christ. And I was defeated for so long, for such a long time, that I'd say until about 2 years ago, it was pretty much inconceivable that I'd be up here giving my testimony, sharing my faith, and telling you that Jesus really has in every way transformed my life. I'm only here because God sought me first and loved me and persevered through my resistance. And when I think about that, I really think of God's promise in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where he says that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I really know that that's true. I grew up Jewish in a pretty typical Jewish family in the suburbs of Boston. Like most Jewish children, I attended temple on the high holidays, and occasionally on Friday nights. Every spring, my parents and I celebrated Passover, and we remembered the story about how God delivered our people out of Egypt and ultimately into the Promised Land. I attended Hebrew school, learned the Old Testament stories, got bar mitzvahed, and read all the stories about Abraham, Moses, David, Samson, Samuel, and all the other great heroes of the Old Testament. And what's always been interesting to me looking back is that throughout that whole time, I believed in God. I knew he existed. I don't know how I knew he existed, but I just knew he existed. But for me, there was always something that was just missing. He was always just a concept. He was never really alive. He was never a living person that I knew. I could read in the Old Testament about how great he was, but he seemed totally distant and unreachable. He may have worked in Moses' life, in the life of the Israelites in the desert, in their desert wandering, but I certainly had never met him, and I couldn't think of any reason why he was really relevant to me today. So I kind of came to the conclusion that I could sort of go on with my life, and he wouldn't bother me, and I wouldn't bother him. And that was fine by me for a while. By the time I had gotten to high school, like most of us, I thought I had figured everything out, so I didn't really need God. I had decided that all I needed for a good life was to get good grades, make sure everyone liked me, find a girlfriend who loved me and who I could love back. But the only problem was, as I grew and learned, that even when I did well in school, even when I did get approval from others, even when I got a date with that girl I was excited about, it never gave me the satisfaction I thought it would. There's always something that never lived up to that initial promise. That even when things worked out better than I could have ever imagined or hoped, for some reason, that thing always failed to deliver. And as a result, I really felt empty. I can say, looking back, that I just praised God that he had a plan for me that was so much greater, so much bigger than anything that I could have come up with. So when I went to college, I made a friend who was a son of a missionary grew up in a missionary family. And through him, he really shared the gospel with me for the first time. And God was just working in my heart and drew me close to him. And for the first time, I really learned about Jesus and asked God for a relationship with him. And it's amazing to me just how that thing that was always missing, just as I started learning about Christ, whatever that hole was, whatever that gap was, Christ just fit perfectly. I knew right away that I had discovered the missing piece and that everything about Jesus and his teaching rang absolutely true in my heart. And I really think for the first time experienced the love and presence of God. And I think it was at that moment that he really moved from a concept to a person that I could know. He was real, he was alive, he was sovereign, and he was working in me. And all of a sudden I was just aware of God everywhere, all around me, and everything. It was like I had a new set of eyes, and I couldn't see anything, look at anything, without seeing his power and love. And while this was an incredible encounter, I think this is an experience that some people have when they become Christians, it sort of flamed out. And unexpectedly, this newfound faith really resulted in an identity crisis. I knew what I believed now, but inwardly, my heart still really wanted to rely on all the same old idols of achievement and approval. And I began to fall into a destructive cycle. I continued to seek the affirmation of the world and the culture, and that led me to make compromises. The compromises made me feel guilty. The guilt made me need more affirmation, and the need for more affirmation made me to compromise more. And as this progressed over a period of years, I really felt more and more trapped and further away from the freedom that I knew was possible in Christ. At my lowest point, not more than probably 5 years ago, I really questioned if I had ever met God or if I had really ever been saved. This all really began to change for me a couple years ago. I knew my way wasn't working, and the Spirit really prompted me to just seek community. Now looking back, I see that that was one of the mistakes I'd made, is I really tried to make my faith very private, and I know now that God really doesn't change us without community. So I started attending church more regularly, and I joined a small group. And I started to feel a desire to really share my faith and learn and be with other Jewish believers. And for the first time, really embrace my Jewish heritage again. And all of that led me here. Through this community and my community at church, God, by his grace, started to break that sin shame cycle that I've been stuck in for too long. And I made friends here, started to open up about all the things that all my mistakes, met people that would pray with me, would pray for me, that cared for me, that accepted me no matter what I confessed, and that continued to hold me accountable. And through that community and my community at church, I really remembered again who I was in Christ, that I was united to him, that I was a recipient of his unconditional love, and no matter what. There was nothing, not life, not death, not angels, not demons, not the past, the present, or future, not circumstances, not people, not even my own will, that could separate me from the love of God that I had in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loved me because of who he was, not because of who I was. The yoke was gone, and I was beginning to know what it meant to be free. I think this testimony, like all testimonies of faith, is really not about the believer, in this case me, but it's really more about a story about God and how he works in our lives. God is a God who wants an intimate relationship with us, and as we experience him, our lives become a witness to that relationship. He reveals himself to us through the events of our daily lives, both dramatic and totally ordinary events, all that we can just know him better. And the reason why is because, at least in part, because we can't have intimacy unless we know who he really is, and unless we can be about real about who we are and be honest with him and confess our sins to him. So as for me, I can tell you that I really didn't seek him. He sought me, at least initially. And one of the things that really moves me is when I think about that is that it wasn't just that he sought me through his love, but also that he sought me through his justice. He didn't just tell me he loved me and I could go about living my life the same way, that my sins didn't matter and that I'd be forgiven. But he told me that my sins did matter, but that instead of putting the penalty on me, he takes the penalty on himself. And by the more and more that sinks in, the more it melts and changes my heart. It cost God everything to have a relationship with me. He had to put my sin on Christ so he could put Christ's righteousness on me. So I still struggle with a lot of the same old tendencies now, but I think the key difference is instead of trying to work them out on my own, I work them out with God. And when I sin, I confess to him. When I'm angry, I talk to him. And I seek community and the prayer and support of others. And when I struggle, I remember this amazing statement of God's love in Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And this great quote from Matthew. Come to Christ, all of you who are weary and burdened, and he will give you rest. Take his yoke upon you and learn from him, for he is humble in heart, and in him you will find rest for your souls. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Thank you.